On behalf of the faculty and staff, I welcome you to this 60th annual commencement of Eastern Mennonite Seminary, a graduate division of Eastern Mennonite University. We gather to recognize and celebrate the accomplishments of these graduates and the support of many family members. This is an all-university commencement weekend, and we invite you to participate in as many activities as possible. It is with great joy that we share this celebration event in a commencement service of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. And the 21 graduates that we honor today are committing themselves to the knowledge that God's hand is leading them and holding them fast. Our prayer for them is that they will always experience the anointing of God's calling upon their lives. They are being sent to bring good news. This afternoon, we offer thanks to God for these graduates and for their future ministries, and we are also grateful for the support of faculty and family, friends, and for the support of many contributors who believe in theological education.
Would you join me in prayer? Gracious and loving God, today we gather in your holy presence. We acknowledge you as the creator and sustainer of every living thing. We bless you for your marvelous works, visible all around us. You are the one who calls us by name and orders our steps, even at times when we're not aware of it. Today we celebrate your providential guidance for these graduates and for each of us. We acknowledge you as our Redeemer and Lord, whose image we recognize most clearly in the face of Jesus Christ. You have called us to be your disciples, to follow you as long learners under the reign of God. We acknowledge you as the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to do your will in the world. We long for your transforming presence and action in our lives, even today, as we celebrate with these graduates. Triune and Holy God, be pleased to accept our worship through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Listen to the reading of the scripture. Reading from John's Gospel, chapter 15. And Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another as I have loved you." And from Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
It's my great pleasure today to introduce our speaker, Dr. Willard Swartley. Willard is a teacher, a scholar, a writer. Willard has been a Bible teacher in congregational settings and church-wide conferences both in North America and in overseas for many years. His special interests in teaching are in the Gospels, in the peace teaching of the Bible and in biblical interpretation. He holds a Bachelor of Arts from Eastern Mennonite University, a BD from Goshen Biblical Seminary, and a PhD from Princeton Theological Seminary. And in 2004, EMU granted Willard the Alumnus of the Year Award. Now, Willard has taught brief stints at Goshen College and at Conrad Grable College, and for a total of 9 years here at EMU, over a period of 13 years total being affiliated here, he was earning his doctorate during the time. There's a number of faculty on the stage today who took classes with him here at EMU. And Willard reminded me that he was the one who developed the Jerusalem term for cross-cultural studies. He led that first group to the Middle East while he was here as a professor of New Testament. But Willard spent most of his years of teaching in his career at the Associated Mennonite Biblical Seminary in Elkhart, Indiana. Indeed, he served there since 1978, including two stints totaling 7 years as dean of AMBS. And there's also several professors on the platform here who took classes with him at AMBS. Willard is now serving as Professor Emeritus of New Testament at AMBS. Willard is a recognized New Testament scholar. He served for a time as the New Testament editor for the Believer's Church Bible Commentary Series, and as the New Testament editor for a book series on studies in peace and scripture. Among Willard's many publications are several books I will name. One is Mark, that is the Book of Mark, The Way for All Nations, Slavery, Sabbath, War, and Women, Case Studies in Biblical Interpretation, and editor of the Essays on Biblical Interpretation, Anabaptist Mennonite Perspectives, a book called Homosexuality, Biblical Interpretation and Moral Discernment, and one of the latest ones, Covenant of Peace, The Missing Piece in New Testament Theology and Ethics. I admire Willard as a scholar, but what I appreciate most about him is his excellent example of the spiritual life and the commitments of a Christian. He is committed to Jesus Christ, he loves the scriptures, and he walks with the community of believers. So please welcome Dr. Willard Swartley as he speaks to us about abiding in Christ and bearing fruit in Christ's name. Willard.
It's my great pleasure to be invited and to address this 2009 Eastern Mennonite Seminary graduating class. So I thank you, seminary faculty, for extending this invitation, and I extend congratulations to all of you, the 2009 graduates. And also to your spouses and to your families and pastors and the congregations they represent that have encouraged and supported you. That's all part of what makes it possible, as you well know. You are the 2009 Eastern Mennonite Seminary branches. In blossom, and some already bearing fruit, probably all bearing some fruit. I commend you for your selection of baccalaureate text last evening and the beautiful song, I Saw a Tree by the Riverside. This is an image that inspires us to root deeply in God's grace. Eugene Peterson in Tell It Slant says, we are connecting to Jesus as our roots go deeper and as we learn prayer and God's glory. He says, as we behold God's glory, we are diminished and our roots go deeper in prayer. And after citing Jesus on this text about a grain of wheat falling into the ground and dying and then bearing much fruit. He quotes a lovely line from Maxine Kuhman. Quote, "I put down roots and I put up leaf," end quote. And Peterson wants rootage that is part of us as we go to worship and work, preach and counsel, testify and witness. It's the rootage we need when illness strikes, when convalescence takes a long time, when people resist our message and ministry, when time runs out on our life clock, and when we lament illness and death of loved ones. It's amid these life experiences that what counts is rootage that leaves and bears fruit for the glory of God. To these images that you already selected, I add the image of vine and branches. With Jesus' invitation, abide in me. Believers or church bodies are branches that grow out from the vine, Jesus, the true vine. In Israel's in Scripture's salvation story, God's people are often referred to as a vineyard or a vine planted and nurtured by God. Isaiah's prophecy declares, "A root shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots." In John 15, Jesus is the true vine, embodying Israel to fulfill God's salvation promises. The branches growing out of the vine are Jesus' 12 disciples, plus many women disciples, the 70, which we heard about last night in Baccalaureate, then 5,000 on Pentecost, believers in churches all over the world, and one day, a multitude that no one can number. The emphasis in John 15 falls on two key points: abide in me, Jesus, and bear fruit. Unless we abide in Jesus, receiving from him our nourishment, we will die, even with an EMS seminary education. And AMBS too, I have to make that equal. Then the keeper of the vineyard, the Father, will take that branch away so that the other branches can be more fruitful. And even those must be pruned. About 6 weeks ago, I pruned my 6 fruit trees. At times, it was hard to cut off some of the shoots because, well, maybe they'll bear some fruit too. But we know that a tree not pruned will bear less and smaller fruit. Jesus wants the tree to bear more and better fruit, so he prunes it. Several years ago, Walter Wink titled his Christian Century Lectionary commentary on John 15, "Living, Living Under the Knife." His memorable words make the point. We need pruning to be faithful. Preparing for ministry is a type of pruning. In acquiring learning to make us fruitful in ministry, some ways of thinking, as well as some cares in life, have to be cut off. So we are shaped and reshaped to make us more productive fruit bearers. But the other side of this in seminary experience is real also. As we learn new things, we sometimes risk staying connected to the true vine. My own seminary experience illustrates this. In the early 60s, my rational critique of faith, particularly in philosophy of religion class, perhaps analogous to today's pluralism, and issues raised by existentialism's skepticism of meaning in life tested my connection to the vine. And I struggled, particularly in my middle and last year of seminary, until a branch, the local congregation that I was affiliated with, took a very public, dramatic action one Sunday morning, saying that this one member who had left the congregation and had gone her own way for a couple years wants to come back and wants us to forgive her. And if you are open to forgiving her, please stand. That jolted me in a way I cannot explain. In tears, I went down to a small room in the basement and poured out my heart to God, and I just felt God's love pouring into my heart and my life. And with that, some of those critical questions about faith and the challenge of existentialism faded into second place. Through Jesus, the vine, God's lavish grace and lavish love fills our lives anew. Yes, some things are rightly pruned in seminary, but it is most important that we stay connected to the vine. The early church in its Eucharistic homily in the Didache speaks of Christ as the vine, from which the body is nourished through bread and wine. This is our cup of salvation. Connected and pruned, we will be empowered to love as Jesus loves us and as the Father loves Jesus. This food chain nourishes our lives and our ministry. God's grace and love in Jesus flow into us so that we bear fruit, yes, and also that our joy may be full and complete. One subtitle for this address is God's Grace, Lavish Love. This is what Paul stresses in reciting God's rich spiritual blessings in Christ three times in Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. This recital, a long 12-verse sentence in Greek, breaks into the doxology to the praise of God's glory, to the praise of God's glory, to the praise of God's glory. And one of the best articles on atonement is by Marit Trelstad, titled Lavish Love, Covenantal Atonement. We know the meaning of the cross through God's glorious grace and lavish love shown in covenant relationship. God's unfailing love invites us to abide in Jesus so that we may have a life, abundant life, and that our joy may be full. God's Son, Jesus, gave himself for the life of the world. From God's glorious grace and lavish love, we live not unto ourselves, but for all for whom Christ died. And we know this love in our tears of solidarity with Jesus' suffering, and in our solidarity with those who suffer in today's world. The second subtitle to this address names the fruit: love, joy, peace. Love and joy are in the John 15 imagery. And John 15, 1 to 7 is sandwiched between five references to the Holy Spirit in chapters 14 to 16. Indeed, Jesus speaks five times in these chapters of both his departure, and the coming, his sending of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of chapter 14 and chapter 16, Jesus bestows peace upon his disciples. This bestowal of peace is extended and repeated in a climactic way in chapter 20, in John's Great Commission, where Jesus breathes into them the Holy Spirit. And that is framed three times, peace be with you, peace be with you. And again, when he comes for Thomas's sake, a week later, peace be with you. Love, joy, and peace have radical implications for our living in today's world. To love, as Jesus teaches, means we care about health care, so that those who need it most have access to it. To experience joy will mean that we care about education, what opportunities all children will have in a fulfilling education. To know peace in our lives means that our values and goals are not dependent on economic competition, profit, and oppression of the poor. The peace that keeps our hearts and minds in Christ is bestowed on us and in us by the God of peace, a title used seven times by Paul in the New Testament and once in Hebrews, God of peace. Phil Kennison, in his insightful book, Life on the Vine, devotes a chapter to each of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. In each chapter, he identifies obstacles latent in our culture to fruit bearing. Obstacles to love are promotion of self-interest, a market economy that puts a price on everything and reduces relationships to contracts. These we might compare to the birds, the squirrels, and the deer that eat the fruit from the trees. Similarly, our joy fruit is choked by manufactured desires, craving for more, and anxiety and fear. These cultural forces are like the tiny invisible insects that get into the fruit and spoil it. These cultural forces, so pervasive, keep us from joy. And joy is hard to come by in our culture. Just when we think we are in for some real joy, some really good fruit, a late frost comes and freezes our blossoms, and joy once again is stuffed from our lives. So we become hardened to life's routines, and we give up on joy. Until the Spirit breaks through anew, and our hearts are strangely warmed, as John Wesley experienced. So that even though through hardest of times, we can still lean upon God's love and know our salvation in and through Jesus Christ. Bearing the fruit of peace, Kennison says, is thwarted by the cultural forces that separate love into the private or public category. Also, compartmentalizing life and strangling politics by special interest groups, defense of our rights and sanctioning violence, all these are obstacles to peace. They block it, both in personal and communal dimensions. We might compare these forces to the hurricanes, the hail, and the tornadoes that uproot and destroy the fruit and strip the branches. To abide in the vine and bear the fruit of love, joy, and peace in our culture is difficult and hazardous, but that is our calling. We need countercultural empowerment, prayer, meditation on Scripture, and even fasting at times, to enable us to withstand the perennial cultural threats to destroy our fruit and sap our nourishment from the vine. So, a third subtitle I've selected expands the peace fruit, spirituality for peacemaking. To abide in Jesus and bear the fruit of peace means that our peacemaking draws nourishment from abiding in Jesus, or in Paul's language, from our in Christ identity. You may recognize this as one of the emphases in my Covenant of Peace book. When I treat the Sermon on the Mount and in my chapter on imitation and discipleship, John's gospel is laced with mutual indwelling, so much so that this motif marks the uniqueness of John's theology. The mutual indwelling of the Father and the Son and the Father, both in the Spirit and the believers in Jesus, so that we become part of the community of the Trinity. Some of you may have learned in seminary about perichoresis. Is that a word used in this area of the world? It comes through the Eastern Fathers. It's a Greek term, which means basically choreography around, and it's an image used in Greek Eastern Orthodox theology, to describe the relationship among the members of the Trinity as a dance. And it's a back and forth rhythm. And it's really caught up or shown most clearly in John's gospel, mutual indwelling. And we are called to that high and holy privilege. The spirituality of peacemaking is also going to require forgiveness. Forgiveness was certainly dramatized through the incident of the Amish response to the murder of 10 schoolgirls a few years ago. But it was also dramatized recently by a special CBS report and story, where a young woman, Jennifer Thompson, raped at age 22, identified the man she thought raped her from among six pictures of African Americans. Thus, the man, Robert Cotton, was sent to prison. Years later, while working in the prison kitchen, Cotton overheard a fellow inmate, Bobby Jones, telling another inmate about his raping of a woman for which he was never caught. What Jones said sounded just like what Robert Cotton had been accused of. A requested DNA sample confirmed that Bobby Jones, not Robert Cotton, was the man guilty of the crime. Jennifer Thompson was heartsick, guilty, and felt self-betrayal. She asked to meet the released Robert Cotton at a church to make amends. She could not find words to express her sorrow for her mistake and Cotton's consequent 8-year prison term. As she wept and searched for words and tried to speak her awful guilt, Robert extended his hand to her shoulder and said, "I forgive you. It's okay." And through forgiveness, Jennifer Thompson and Robert Cotton were reconciled. The report went on to show their public ministry, where the two together speak publicly about how it is easy to misidentify a criminal, especially if the picture of the one who actually did it is not among those 5 or 6 shown at the police station, which was the case in this situation. There was no picture there of Bobby Jones. Now, this story is a story of forgiveness at the personal level, one-to-one relationship. And it's a story that ends in reconciliation. Reconciliation. And this is authentic peacemaking. Now, for the Amish story, that's more of a community story. And it's the power of a community because of who they are that enables them to forgive, as it were, a default response. And they explain it partly because they recite the Lord's Prayer 5 times a day. And in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Stanley Hauerwas says, it takes a community, and the formation of a community for one's life to practice peace. And this practice of peace requires constant care of our lives together, through which we discover the violence that grips our lives and compromises our witness to the world. End quote. Now, when we visualize what a vine and branches really looks like, we will see branches growing out of other branches. We are invited into the Jesus branch community, where no branch is devalued and all draw ultimately on the vine, from the vine, but sometimes through other branches. And just as we see in the Trinity this mutuality, so there is then a mutuality among us as brothers and sisters, but together we draw the nourishment from Jesus, and Jesus the Son from the Father. Peacemaking brings us into community with Jesus, so that we are caught up as part of this community dance. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." And later on in the same chapter, love of enemies indicates that you are children of your heavenly Father. Peacemaking, love of enemies, the identity mark of God's children. So that human acts of love and peacemaking reflect God's triune nature. Unless we cultivate a spirituality of peacemaking, we will be unable to draw the nourishment we need from Jesus the vine to bear fruit. We ever stand in need of God's grace and lavish love to empower us to bear the fruit of love, joy, and peace. Now, however the Spirit leads you and the congregations you serve, or whatever ministry you are called to, remember your connection to the vine. Abide, abide, abide. And as Lawrence Yoder put it last night, you will meet up with challenges in your life that go beyond your human capacities. And therefore, you will need to depend upon Jesus, to draw from Jesus, to speak Jesus' words, and to do Jesus' works, and have that consciousness that it is not I, but Jesus, who is at work and who speaks. Now, some of you are going to be serving in settings where the word Mennonite is not known, sometimes poorly understood, maybe even misunderstood. I'm going to give you a suggestion. I know they teach Greek here at EMS. It's very interesting that the Greek word for abide is meno. Yes, it's meno. So if you are in such a setting, just say, "I was formed for ministry at Eastern Abiding Seminary." Now, if they are perplexed, you can tell them about your meno abiding seminary, what it means to abide in Jesus, pursue peace, and what you learned at this meno seminary. And you can introduce them, if they do not already know, you can introduce them to God's grace and lavish love and to the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. And your congregation do that as well. It's in this context that My prayer is that the triune God bestow lavish grace and the Spirit's fruit of love, joy, and peace upon you and your ministry. May you and your congregations practice peacemaking empowered by the mutual indwelling that comes from the Trinity and our link through the Spirit and through Jesus. And may you and your church body abide in the true vine and enjoy its Eucharistic fruit. And I'd like to conclude with the well-known prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow seeds of love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled, comforted, as to console and comfort. To be understood as to understand. To be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Class of 2009, by the sustaining grace and empowering Spirit of God, we are here.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes I think our families and friends are a bit more excited than we are. We are a group blessed with humor, if you haven't found that out already. We're different ages with diverse backgrounds. If you were with us last night, you would have heard a list of who we are. And some of you, I think you thought we were joking, but it's really true that we are teachers, camp directors, weightlifters, hunters, fishers, caregivers, nuclear submariners, recent college graduates, and people who have had to learn again to write papers. We are wives and husbands, brothers and sisters, daughters and sons, grandparents, grandchildren, friends, connected in some way to each one gathered here. And like a master weaver, God has woven us together, taking these strands, making them into a beautiful fabric, the class of 2009. And though diverse, each of us is like Abram. We have heard God's call, and we have followed. And those who know us well can testify that it's not because of who we are, but rather because of God, the one who is constantly reaching out, wooing us to follow, inviting us to the adventure of daily loving God and loving each other. And what an adventure it has been these last 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 and a half years long. God has called us to make this journey together. Like the people of God in the Old Testament, who walked together through thick and thin, sometimes grumbling, sometimes rejoicing, we too have been through good and bad times here at EMS. Sometimes we could relate to the people of God in Egypt, enduring what felt like heavy burdens, the hard work of exegesis, Christian tradition, ethics. Need I say more? In situations like Methodist four-point charges, in times like personal and family crises. But we have also experienced triumphant times like the Exodus, completing coursework, even sometimes ahead of time, delivering rousing sermons, experiencing healing from ashes, witnessing to God's transformative work. Yet sometimes EMS has felt like a wilderness in which we've wandered. And some of us have experienced these wanderings more keenly than others, going in circles, it felt like, at times. There have been difficult questions to answer. Why are we here? What is God calling us to do with these degrees? Where is God? Hello? Did I hear wrong? Perhaps life was better before we came to EMS. Yet God has proven faithful. Each one of you gathered here today is a blessing, a gift from God to each one of us, and maybe more. And so, on behalf of this year's class, I say thank you. Faculty and staff, you have walked with us each and every step of the way, from our registration to our graduation, listening, teaching, challenging, blessing, consoling, encouraging, and helping. Thank you, family and friends. We could not have done this without you. You have released us to minister as God's servants, and you have shown a willingness to sacrifice your time, your energy, and even your paychecks for us to be here. With the support of this beloved community, EMS, the countless family and friends, our time here has mirrored the promised land. From hearing your stories, class of 2009, I know that I am not alone in saying that EMS has been a good place to be. God has equipped, taught, healed, delivered, and blessed us with so many good things during this time. And so most of all, we thank the living God, ever creating, calling, equipping, and sending. And so now, we are sent. We move from EMS with both excitement and fear. We move as participants in God's kingdom, established in Christ Jesus. Yet also as those waiting for God's promise that in Christ all will be restored, all will be made new. We move eagerly waiting for the reign of God to be fully revealed, for the lion to lie down with the lamb, and I would add for the salamander to swim with the snake, when weapons of war will be beat into plowshares, when all of the hungry will be fed, when all those who can't walk will leap for joy. When the groaning earth will rejoice, giving God glory. We move like runners towards this God-given and God-centered vision with the peace, joy, and love spoken about by Willard today. We go with God. Amen.
Thank you, Mike, for your gracious words on behalf of the graduating class of 2009. And thank you also for the way you've personally exercised your leadership within the seminary community over the last several years when you've been here. And thanks to those of you who served alongside Mike as class officers this past year, Lynetta Ballou and Peggy Packard and Steve Wheedling. And to you as an entire senior class, thank you for your class gift. First of all, the seminary wall hanging, and your contributions to the Heifer Project and the thermal shelter here called Hearts in Harrisonburg. Your gifts to the poor are a sign of your solidarity with those who suffer, as Brother Swartley mentioned a few moments ago in his address. For all of you as graduates, This moment highlights a special achievement, represents personal discipline, some perseverance, and hard work. I see those nods. And now is the time to celebrate that achievement. Even as Mike noted, the contribution that others have made to their lives, and also the contribution that God has made, I want to underscore that. The grace that God has given to each of you to bring you this far. It's indeed God's grace and not simply your own efforts which have brought you to this place in your studies and your ability to minister to others. Now, by the grace of God, as well as by exceptional effort, some of you have done outstanding scholarly work. And the faculty has chosen to honor five of you for work in different fields of study. And as recognition for this distinction, each of you will receive a subscription to a well-respected journal in your field. And each of you will receive a certificate of award along with your diploma here in a few moments. Now, I'm going to name these individuals, and I invite each of you to stand when I call your name, and please remain standing until all five are announced. And I suggest that we hold our applause until all five are recognized. Here, then, are the awards. From among those who are earning a Master of Divinity degree, excellence in biblical and theological studies, Mike Metzler. Would you stand, Mike? For excellence in theological studies, Dan Umble. For excellence in practical theology, with a concentration in pastoral counseling, Galen Combs. For excellence in practical theology, with a concentration in congregational education, Lynetta Ballou. And from among those earning the Master of Arts in Church Leadership, for excellence in spiritual formation, Renee Hostetter. We congratulate each of you for your hard work and this special achievement. Thank you. You may be seated. And now we come to the special moment that you've all been anticipating ever since you started your studies, the conferring of your degrees. Upon recommendation of the faculty of Eastern Mennonite Seminary and upon the approval of the Board of Trustees of Eastern Mennonite University, I present the class of 2009 for the conferring of their degrees. And you will note in the program booklet, in the back of the booklet, that the names of the graduates are listed under the three different degrees. 14 students have completed the requirements for the Master of Divinity, a 3-year degree program of preparation for Christian ministry. So would you please stand and remain standing? Now, one student has completed the requirements for the Master of Arts in Religion, which is a 2-year degree program of study for the academic study of theology. But he could not be with us today, so he can't stand here. 4 students have completed the requirements for the Master of Arts in Church Leadership, which is a 2-year degree program of study with specialization in a particular area of ministry. Would you please stand? Now, we've also listed 2 individuals who've earned certificates for ministry studies. The certificate requires at least 24 credit hours of graduate study. And although a certificate does not represent the attainment of a degree, it does indicate a significant milestone in ministry preparation. And so we celebrate their achievement by noting their names in the program booklet. President Schwarzentruber, I'm pleased to present the persons who are now standing for the conferring of their respective degrees.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty of Eastern Mennonite Seminary, and upon the authority vested in me by the University Board of Trustees, the Mennonite Education Agency, and the Commonwealth of Virginia, I confer upon you, so presented, the degree Master of Divinity, and so presented Master of Arts in Religion, and you, so presented, Master of Arts in Church Leadership, with all the rights, honors, and privileges pertaining thereto. We further endorse you for continuing the ministry founded on Christ's call to discipleship, the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, with the encouragement to be in covenant with the community of faith. Go forth and proclaim Jesus as Christ. You may move your tassels from the right to the left, and you may be seated. On behalf of Eastern Mennonite Seminary, I wish to recognize you as presented for the intensive study and achievement in completing the requirements of the course prescribed, and therefore award to you so presented the Certificate in Ministry Studies. We further endorse you for continuing the ministry founded on Christ's call to discipleship, the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, and urge you to covenant with the community of faith. Go forth and proclaim Jesus as Christ.
Okay, as I invite the graduates forward, I invite everyone to follow along in your program booklet, the graduating class of 2009. Also invite you to hold your applause until all the graduates have received their diplomas. For the Master of Divinity, Joel E. Ballou. Joel will continue as pastor of Lebanon Church of the Brethren, Mount Sidney, Virginia. Lynetta Shalom Ali Ballou. Lynetta is the recipient of an award for excellence in practical theology with a concentration in congregational education. She will continue as program director at Brethren Woods Camp and Retreat Center, Keyseltown, Virginia. Galen Matthew Combs. Galen is the recipient of an award for excellence in practical theology with a concentration in pastoral counseling. Galen will continue to serve as pastor at Barren Ridge Church of the Brethren, Stanton, Virginia. Thomas Wayne Crosby. Tom will be commissioned as a provisional elder. He received a pastoral appointment in the Rappahannock District of the Virginia United Methodist Conference. Shara Lee Sarah Gerber. Shara Lee is working as resource team coordinator for Ohio Mennonite Conference, Kidron, Ohio. Stephen H. Gibbs in absentia. Steve will continue to serve as pastor at Elizabethtown Mennonite Church, Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. Sarah Marie Heatwell. Sarah is receiving a dual degree, a Master of Divinity and a Master of Arts in Counseling. After completing her studies, she plans to serve as a licensed professional counselor. Alan Charles Lenker. Alan will continue as pastor at Little River Church of the Brethren in Goshen, Virginia. John Michael Metzler. Mike is the recipient of an award for excellence in biblical and theological studies. Mike feels called to pastoral ministry and is currently in conversation with a Mennonite congregation in Pennsylvania. Dustin Blake Miller. Dustin is moving to Cincinnati, Ohio to start a new church and community ministry. Margaret Peggy McMullen Packard. Peggy is currently awaiting an appointment as pastor in the United Methodist Church. Daniel Patrick Umbel. Dan is the recipient of an award for excellence in theological studies. Dan feels called to pursue further theological study in preparation for teaching. Stephen Wayne Weedling. Steve is a candidate for pastoral ministry in the Virginia Conference of the United Methodist Church, awaiting an appointment. Eric G. Wetzel. Eric will serve as pastor at the Lick Creek Church of the Brethren in Bryan, Ohio. And for the Master of Arts in Religion, Rodney J. Nice, in absentia. Rodney, along with his family, will be serving with Virginia Mennonite Missions at the Maranatha School for the Deaf in Jamaica. And for the Master of Arts in Church Leadership, Miriam Elaine Zare Hill. Miriam plans to resource churches as a teacher of spiritual formation. Miriam Renee Hostetter. Renee is the recipient of an award for excellence in spiritual formation studies. Renee will serve as an associate pastor for youth ministry and pastoral care at First Mennonite Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Martha C. Murray. Martha plans to serve as a resource for retreats and workshops on spiritual formation. Vivian Medeiros Utz. Vivian will continue to serve as pastor of the West Louisa Charge of the United Methodist Church, Louisa, Virginia.
God is good. All the time.
God is good.
Let's congratulate the graduates.
Dr. Nathan E. Yoder, Associate Professor of Church History, will lead us in a litany of commissioning. Following the blessing and benediction by Dr. Irvin Stutzman, please remain standing for the recessional of the faculty and graduates. And then one announcement. All graduates and their families, along with the faculty and staff, are invited to the President's reception this evening between 9 and 10 p.m. in the University Commons Mall. Nathan?
I invite you to find the litany of commissioning on the page immediately following the order of service or just before the ordering of the graduates that you were just looking at. We're going to be reading this litany in groupings. Those groupings are indicated on the left-hand side of each of the two pages. I want to call your attention to several features before we read. About halfway down on page one, you will notice that Lawrence Yoder will be joining the graduates in one of the affirmations. Lawrence is retiring from the faculty as professor of missiology, and he will be recognized in this way. Those of you who are past and current students of the seminary, please notice that on page two, you lead out and the graduates respond to you. When we get to that, we have to hear you loud and clear. And finally, at the bottom of the first page, and again at the top of the second page, you will find two affirmations designated for all the called. These lines provide an opportunity not only for the members of the graduating class, but for anyone who identifies with this call of Jesus Christ to make these affirmations. I'll give you just a moment to read these statements as you decide whether to join in reading them as we read through the litany. Graduates of 2009, we're almost to the reception. You've nearly completed your formal time at EMS, and we are about to commission you to go. What say ye?
Hallelujah!
I think that should be done again. What say ye?
Hallelujah!
And to all of you who have invested in the equipping of these graduates in ways other than reading the thousands of pages, writing the hundreds of pages, and commuting the many miles, on this commencement day, what say ye?
Thanks be to God.
You were called to come to seminary, and you are now being called as you leave EMS.
We are called to minister, trusting in the Lord.
You graduate from seminary during anxious times.
We came to seminary, trusting in the Lord. In seminary, we learn more about trusting God. We move on from our seminary experience, trusting in the Lord.
You are being called to minister when many are not sure where to turn for help.
We minister knowing that we have been taught and that the Holy Spirit will continue to teach us.
You minister in a world where fear and hatred, poverty and greed, imperialist ambition and nationalist zealotry, all of these fracture and fragment, terrorize and intimidate.
We join with those across our centuries and around the world who minister the reconciling presence of Jesus.
You are being called to minister during a seismic societal shift, which some call a transition from modernity into postmodernity.
We are part of a people who over the centuries being covenant with God, as empires rise and empires When there are fearful predictions, we trust in the Lord. During the heat of summer, our roots go deeper. Impoverished by withering drought, we abound in thanksgiving. When at the end of our resources, we are nurtured in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. We are rooted and anchored. We are built up and established. In Christ we are fruitful in all seasons. So let it be. Amen and amen.
As we prepare to leave this place of worship and celebration, I offer these words of blessings to the graduate. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may God bless you with love. Love for God and God's church. Love for family and neighbor. Love for enemies in a fearful and anxious world. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may God bless you with grace. Grace to accept yourselves for what you are now. Grace to become what God would have you yet to become. Grace to forgive yourself and others. Grace to see God's hand at work in the world. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may God bless you with courage. Courage to face what is in your past. Courage to face what stirs inside. Courage to face what lies ahead. And by the power of the Spirit, may God bless you with hope. Hope where others can see only despair. Hope for the difference that you can make in the world. Hope in God's eternal reign. And to all gathered here, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.